Today we are doing Bava Batra Daf Gimel. We're going to see a parallel to yesterday's sugya. So if we look back at the chart from yesterday, if you still have your sheet, there's a spare copy around. We had a machloka whether mechitza in the Mishnah means kotel or separation. Okay, so separation just means the way we explained it, and we're going to see this inside more today, is that it's a space, and as either we say, we agreed, okay, so let's do each way, okay? We agreed, according to the first reading, that it's a kotel. We agreed as shutafim to split this area, and the halacha can if let's say which one of us changes our mind and doesn't want to actually put up a wall, the other one can force the other to build a wall. Okay? That's what it means. So ratsu in the beginning, that's what we have to explain in each case is what happened in the beginning, what happened at the end, right? So the first time, and the other thing we have to say is what did they agree to in the beginning? So first they agreed to build a wall and split the area by a wall. Then they changed their mind, right? One changed his mind and said, I don't want to build a wall. Then the other one can force him. The second explanation is that it just means they agreed in the beginning to split the area. And why would they need an agreement? Because we're talking about a space that's less than, right, really it's a space of, let's say, 8 by 4, okay? 8 amot by 4 amot, which if you split it in half, you end up with two sections that are just under 4 amot by 4 amot, basically, because you're going to have the split. Whatever you put in the middle is going to take up space. That's not enough of a living space. We talked about that 4 amot being a living space also by sukkah. And therefore, if they agreed to split the area, then one is allowed to force the other to put up a wall. And that's what the second shlav is. So they agreed to make a separation, which could just mean they could just say, this part's yours and that part's mine. But then we can force them to actually build a wall. Okay? And that's because, according to that reading, hezek re'ia is hezek. And the first reading, we say hezek re'ia isn't hezek, and it's only because they wanted to that we can now force him and he can't change his mind. So then we had a reading. If you see here, we had a question. You can see in the first chart on the page. First, we had a question on the chalukah. We said, ihachi, it should have said, sheratzu lachatzot, and not sheratzu lasot mechitza. We didn't answer the question. We left it as a question. We then asked a question, if we're going to already be medayek in the words in the Mishnah. So then we asked a question on the kotel. Well, then why does it say bonimota kotel? If mechitza is kotel, then it should have just said bonimoto. And that they answer, because if it had just said oto, then we would have thought that musifas ba'alma, which is really just, I didn't exactly ever understand 100% what it is, but it sounds like you just put some pegs in the floor and maybe some reeds as a separation. Almost like people do those mechitzas at weddings, they put some plants up. You know, that's not a mechitza with a wall. That's just a separation. So we answered up that question. Okay, so now we're going to have the reverse. If you remember, we started the first sugya with mechitzas kotel. Then we said, no, mechitzas chalukah. Then we questioned chalukah. We went back to kotel. Now we're going to see the whole thing, mirror image. We're going to have a different way of reading the sugya, and it's going to be a mirror image of the first. So, lishna achrina. Amrela, savrua, they thought originally, my mechitza plugta. Okay, so it's the exact same thing. Just instead of starting with kotel, we're going to start with chalukah. And this is basically a review in a different order and a minor change of yesterday. Mechitzas plugta. How do we know mechitzas plugta? Dichtiv, exactly like yesterday, vatehi mechetzat ha'edah. They split the shalal, right? So mechetza means splitting. Bekevan diratzu bonim etakot ha'bal korchan. So now we have to explain, how do we read the Mishnah? Since they agreed in the beginning, so then we force them to build a wall against their will. One can force the other because of what? Alma. Therefore, we can assume hezek re'iash me hezek. So looking into someone's property is damages, and that's why one can force the other to build a kotel once they agreed to split. Ema, my mechitza guda. But if you say that, t'nan mechitzata karen shenifritza omer lo gdor. I didn't read that right. Okay, back again. Ema, my mechitza, but maybe we should say, not the mechitza is chalukah, but the mechitza is guda, the mechitza is kotel. How do we have a source, the Machitzas Kotel? So here, instead of Detana, it should be Detanya. It says in a Braita, Mechitzat HaKerem Shenifritza Omer Logdor. Nifritza Omer Logdor. Nityeesh Hemena V'Logdara Hareze Kidesh V'Chaya V'Achrayuta. Remember this source? This was to prove that Machitza is a wall. Because here, if we have this Kilayim problem, your field's next to mine, and there's a wall, and then the wall breaks, my vine might grow into your wheat field and cause Kilayim. If it breaks, and you say to me, fix the wall, and I fix it, and then you say, fix it, and then I don't fix it, and I neglect it, so then we're going to say that it's Kilayim, it's Kidesh, it makes it Asur, and Chayav Bachrayuta, and I have to replace the damages done to your property. Now, this proves that Mechitza is a wall, because here I have to fix the wall, and it has to be a wall that blocks things from coming through, and not just some separation. V'tama, so now we have to read the Mishnah according to this. V'tama diratzu, like I said, this is very good chazaran yesterday. The reason is because we wanted to do something. Halo ratzu, in other words, we each agreed to build the wall in the first place. Halo ratzu, but if we didn't agree to build the wall in the first place, a mechayvin oto, and this is where we come to the conclusion that since the Mishnah specifically put it in a case of ratzu, it means that if I didn't agree in the beginning to build the wall, then you can't force me to build one. And therefore, what can we assume? Al mehezek riyah lav shmei hezek. Okay, and then we had a whole slew of questions yesterday on hezek riyah, right, is not shmei hezek. Don't we have all these six sources that seem to imply yes? And we rejected them all. Ihachi, but we're not going to review those today. Ihachi, so if that's the case that we're going now with the kotel, okay, so bonimata kotel, shouldn't say bonimata kotel in the Mishnah, it should say bonimo tome bayale. That's what it should have said in the Mishnah. Because it doesn't make sense to say you have to build a wall. If we agreed to build a wall, then you have to build a wall. It should have said if we agreed to build a wall, then you have to build it. Therefore, okay, just like yesterday where we started with a question on the Chalukah reason, and then we just ended there, we left it as an open question, and we continued along the other route. So here we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to end at the Kotel question. You're right, that's a question. Yesterday we answered up that question. Today, according to this reading, we don't answer up that question. It's left as a question, and therefore the Gemara goes more in the kivun of saying it's a Chalukah. Okay, so it's a matter of where the emphasis is and where we end up, right? The last, yesterday's sugya kind of went in the kotel. This, today's reading, goes with the machitza. So, so then, if you're going to start questioning using the words of the Mishnah, so obviously we're going to have, so elamai, so what are you going to say then? It's plukta, it's a chaluka. Ihachi, sheratzuli, lasot machitza, shouldn't say they wanted to build a wall, separation. What should it have said? Sheratzula chatzot mebaile. If you want to build a separation, how do you call it? You don't say, how do you say? You don't say, I want to build a separation. You say, we agreed to split as a verb, not as a noun. Kedamra inche. So now the Gemara answers, no. People, you want to think, you say that people generally say we want to split. But no, people also say, ta navi plukta, let's make a separation between our properties. So people do use that term, and therefore it's not a question. So we could have answered that yesterday, but we didn't, right? Today, we're answering that. And now, obviously, we're going to go along now. I hezek riyah shmei hezek. So if now we're saying it's chaluka, then we say the hezek riyah is hezek, and that's why we could force you to put up the wall. So my iriyah ratzu, afilu lo ratzu nami. If hezek riyah is riyah, then it doesn't matter whether they wanted to split it or didn't want to split it. Then you, if I live on this side and you live on that side and there's hezek riyah, even if we don't have a partnership agreement and we agreed to split the property, still we should force someone to build up a wall. So now, okay, this is a bit of a weird question because it's premised on the fact that we don't yet know what type of size property we're talking about. So right now the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about bigger than 8x4. And therefore, if I'm on my side and you're on your side, then clearly one can force the other to build a wall whether we wanted to split the property or we didn't want to split the property. Okay, we're going to learn now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but anything less than 4x4, there's no din chalukah. We don't generally split it. And therefore, we're going to say only if ratzu. But if it's bigger than that space, then there's what's called din chalukah. One can force the other to divvy up the property. And once you're going to divvy up the property, if there's such a thing as hezek riyah, well, then obviously one can force the other to build a wall. So now they're going to basically answer, and this we already know, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnatenu kishe'ein ba'din chalukah. Right? Our Mishnah is a case, right? Remember, it didn't say this in the Mishnah. But you'd have to assume, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. What doesn't make sense? This ratsu part. It shouldn't make a difference whether ratsu. So it must be a case where there's no din chalukha, meaning it's an 8x4 property, which splits into 4x4 exactly. You know, you're going to end up with a little bit less, and therefore each side is going to be less than 4x4. In which case, v'hu diratsu. Only if they agreed to split up this place can one force the other to build a wall. But if they didn't agree, then it's a space that's not ra'oi to split. And therefore, no one can force anyone else to build a wall. Okay? So that's our working assumption right now of the sugya. That it's chalukha, that it's less than 8x4, right? Each one's going to end up with less than 4x4. In which case, only because they agreed, do we now force one to put up, the one who doesn't want to put a wall up. So now, if we're going to read the Mishnah like this, the Gemara is going to question and say, wait a minute. My kamashmalan. So then what's the chiddush of our Mishnah according to this? Dechilei beidin chalukha ki ratzu pligi. That, right? And what are we saying? That if there's no din chalukah, if it's less than 8x4, then what's going to happen? Only if they want to, do we split it? Wait a minute. You don't know this yet, but that, Tanina, we already learned in another Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph, says exactly that. Which means, what's the point of the Mishnah telling us now if we already said it? Again, already is later, but what's the point of having, again, this is all a parshanut of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah makes no sense to explain it says this if the Mishnah Yud Aleph says that. So it doesn't make any sense. So let's read the Mishnah. Eimatai, bizman she'ein shnehem rotzim. Aval bizman she'shnehem rotzim, afilu pachot mikan cholkin. Okay, you really have to read the beginning of this Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah reads like this. If you want to flip to Yud Aleph, you can look. Ain cholkin et hachatzer. It's Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Ad shehe arba amot lezeh va'arba amot lezeh. There you have it. Okay, we don't split a field, a courtyard, unless everybody's got 4 amot. Below et hasadeh. Okay, then it talks about that. Okay, and then it says at the very end, right? Eimatai. When is this? Bizman she'ein shnehem rotzim. Aval bizman she'shnehem rotzim afilu pachot mikan yachloku. Isn't that exactly what we were trying to say? Okay? I don't know if you looked ahead, but the next line is going to be important also, if you glance. But we'll see it inside. Okay? Because the Mishnah doesn't end there, and that's what's going to be important to answer this. But anyway, right now they're saying, if our Mishnah is coming to tell you that in a place where each person is going to be left with less than 4x4, we don't force you to split it, and only if they want do we split it, well, that's exactly what that Mishnah says, right? Explicitly. Except there's one difference. What's the difference? That one doesn't mention what? It just says Chokim. What doesn't it mention? With a wall. Okay? So, now they're going to say it right, which our Mishnah clearly talked about a wall. So, Ime hatam hava amino afilu pachomikan. Afilu pachomikan b'mesifas ba'alma. Ka mashmalan hacha kotel. Okay? You might have thought that it was enough to just put up a barrier. Some pegs, some reeds. But, therefore, our Mishnah teaches us b'kotel. Okay, that's very good to say, okay, so Mishnah Aleph is not unnecessary because the Mishnah on Yud Aleph doesn't tell us some important fact that our Mishnah does say. However, what's the obvious problem now? But if that's the case, our Mishnah tells you everything. It tells you don't have to split it if you don't want, right? If it's less than 4x4. If you do want, then we force you to split it. Right, then we force you to build a kotel. That already tells you everything that's said in Mishnah and Yud Aleph. So there's no point to give that Mishnah once you have our Mishnah. And first we started with, what's the point of our Mishnah if that Mishnah exists? Now we're going to say, well, what's the point of that Mishnah if our Mishnah exists? So what's going to be the answer? Seifa Yitzri Chale, you really didn't need that line in the Mishnah. But that line in the Mishnah worked as a lead-in to the next line. What's the last line of that Mishnah? Ukitveh Kodesh. Okay, so as opposed to a living space, which if we agreed to it, we split, but Kitvei HaKodesh, even if, let's say we have a Sefer Torah, and you want Breishit and Shemot, and I want Vayikra through Dvarim, okay, we can't split that, because that's not Kavod for the Torah. So the reason they talked about splitting property was a lead-in to tell us that when it comes to Sefer Kodesh, you can't treat them the same way you treat property. Okay, so therefore, that was the point of that Mishnah, even if our Mishnah says the exact same thing as that Mishnah. Okay? a little forced, and also, if you remember, it's a little strange that our Mishnah would be talking about this topic, and then only a few Mishnayot later, it goes back to the topic. It's not a good read, according to this reading, that Mechitza is Chalukah. It's definitely a difficulty. Okay, this whole next section is in parentheses, which means some people don't read it. We'll read it anyway. It's, again, like a bit of a different... Okay, we have Rav Asi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Before, we're going to see this actually... No, we're going to skip the first two lines, because even the ones who read this Nusach don't read those first two lines. Okay, but Lishnachrina, the Lamed Aleph will read, Lishnachrina. Now skip down to after Bechu. Okay, Ada'ash Mi'inan, B'yesh Badin Chaluka, V'hu Diratzu. So if at this point we've concluded that what? It's a case of Ein Badin Chaluka, which is another way of saying less than 4 by 4. V'hu Diratzu, and it's only if they wanted to split it. So why would you say that it's a case of b'she'en b'adin chalukah v'hu diratzu? Why don't you take, right, think about how common is it that we share a property that's 8 by 4? That's not the most common thing, and that we want to split it, right? Lishme'ina, why didn't it bring the case of, the Mishnah would have read better if it had given us a case, b'yesh b'adin chalukah v'af agav d'lo ratzu. If you wanted to say, what's the point of the Mishnah according to this reading, that it's just a chalukah, right? The point of saying is, Hezek re'iyah is hezek. So if that's the case, why don't you bring a case where two people are living next to each other, and it's a big, as two people are sharing a property, it's a big property that is ra'oy l'chalukah. Once we can force the one to split, right? I want to split it, the other one doesn't, I can force him because yesh badin chalukah. At that point, I can even force him to build a wall because hezek re'iyah shmei hezek. So why didn't the Mishnah bring that case? Shouldn't have said, no, this is not questioning. Until now, we didn't say that that's what the Mishnah says, because it says, shutavim sheratzu. We had to find a case where they wanted to do something, right? They wanted originally. Now he's suggesting, why don't we just say, why didn't the Mishnah, milachatchila, why wasn't it written differently? If the whole chiddush was to teach you hezek reish mehezek, it should have given you a classic case where two people are living in a big property, one wants to split it, he can force the other to build a wall, because hezek reish hezek. That would have been a better case. Hava amina she'ein badin chaluka afilu ratzu namilo. Because if we brought that case, then what would you have thought about a case she'ein badin chaluka? If we brought a case where yesh badin chaluka and lo ratzu, you would have assumed that only in a big space can we force you to put up a wall. But if we live in a small 8 by 4 space and I want to force you to build a wall, even if I agree, and let's say we live in this 4 by 4 space, and I agree that we should split it, but I don't want to build a wall, you can still force me. And you wouldn't have been able to learn that halacha if the Mishnah was only talking about a big space. Because then you would have thought, big space, lo ratzu, you can force him, but little space, even if ratzu, then you wouldn't necessarily be able to force him because ein badin chalukah at all. So therefore, that's why we didn't teach that case. Okay.
Because you can learn the larger case from the unusual one, but you couldn't learn the unusual one from the larger one.
Exactly. Yafe. So, umi matzit amar hachi, can you really say that? That afilu lo ratzu namilo? Would people think that? Ba'aktane seifa, but doesn't it say later on in the Mishnah? Ematai bizman she'en shnehem rotzim. Ava bizman she'shnehem rotzim yachlogu. Here you see where it says explicitly in the Mishnah, people wouldn't have misconcluded because it says, if they want to, then yachlogu. But again, that Mishnah only means, right, my lava kotel, doesn't that mean yachloku with a wall? No, I'm a sipas ba'alma. So in other words, you wouldn't have known from that other Mishnah, because there you might have thought, we can force you to split, but that just means we can force you to put a barrier up. As long as you agreed, we can force you to put some sort of barrier, but it doesn't mean we can force you to build a wall. So, litnei hai, the low litnei hai. So again, why don't we just say, so again, back to assuming that Mishnah is saying, talking about the same thing as our Mishnah. So, Lidnehai v'lo Lidnehai. So, why didn't we just say our Mishnah and not the other Mishnah? So, Seifa itzri chaleu b'kitvei HaKadosh, afa b'shashneham rotzim le'echloku. So, again, we say the same thing, that they needed it to tell you the last part. Okay, so now, b'mai ukimta l'matnitin, b'she'en badin chaluka. So, now, according to this, our Mishnah is talking about b'she'en badin chaluka, right? We're going along that reading, as we've done all day today, right? Not kotel, it's a small property, we just want to make a divider, and the point is, hezek reish mehezek, and therefore I can force you to put up a wall. So, ibe she'ein badin chaluka, ki ratzu mayhave. What happens in this case, in the first frame, time frame? What happens? I agreed to split this property with you, okay? Now, go to the second time frame. I don't want to build a wall. So now, why don't they say like this? Nehadru b'hu. Why can't I just change my mind and say, listen, I don't really want to, if I don't want to build this wall, I could just say, I changed my mind. I don't really want to split the property with you. What's to stop me from doing that? Did we do some sort of a kinyan? Did we, right? I just said, I agree, let's split the property. And then you say, well, guess what? Now that you agreed to split the property, you got to build a wall. And I said, oh, no, no, no. I didn't mean that. Once you build a wall, my space is going to be even smaller than it was. I'm not interested. So why can't I just renege on the agreement? So now the Gemara is going to say, not only are we talking about space that's 8x4, not ra'oy ledin chaluka, but Amar Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan shekanu miyado. And they did a kinyan when they agreed in the first place to split the property. Okay, once we do a kinyan, right, obviously we're talking about some sort of symbolic kinyan, then I can't be chazerba. So now they say, wait a minute. B'chikanu miyadam mayhavi, kinyan dvarim ba'almahu. This is just a kinyan saying that we spoke about something. There's no actual, I didn't do a kinyan on the property, so this should be a kinyan that we actually can renege on. So what are the answer? Two possible answers. B'shekanu miyadam beruchot. It's where they said, I'm going to get the east part, you're going to get the west part. I'm going to get the north part, you're going to get the south part, where we really explicitly designated which properties for who, in which case you can't renege. As opposed to just saying, I agree, I'll split the property, let's just do a kinyan and that's it, and then I can probably go back on it. Rav Ashi amar kigon shalach zeh betoch shalo v'yichzik. V'zeh betoch shalo v'yichzik. Rav Ashi says, no, it means each person went into their property and kind of, you know, like Kalev went into the land and radically designated that was for Yehuda. You know, just by walking in my side and you walked on your side, we already did some sort of a kinyan. And as they did a kinyan and, right, we're machzik, each one their section. Okay. So that's the end of this mechitza kotel discussion for right now. Makom shenagu livnot. Now we're going to get back to all the different types of bricks that we used. Okay, remember, there's gavil is 6. Right, which is chiseled. There's gazit, which is 5, which is chiseled. We have kafisin, which are 4, which are 2 half bricks, 1.5 each, with an ama, with a tefach of stuff between them, a mixture we said of teat and rocks, stones. Like stones and cement. And the 4th is the levanim, which are only 3 tefachim. Gavil, so now the Gemara is going to basically define them all, as we said. Gavil, avnei de lo mashafia. They're avanim that are not mishufim, right? They're not smooth. Gazit, avnei de mashafia. They're stones that are smooth. Dichtiv, how do we know this? Kol eila avanim yikarot kimidot gazit. Okay, now it doesn't really say what this is, but you have to read the rest of the pasuk. Often the Gemara does this. They just quote part of the pasuk, but the continuation of that pasuk is migorirot bamigera. Okay, they're basically, that means they put them in a machine, right, or some sort of machine. They didn't have machines in those days, but they basically smooth them out. This is in Melachim, when they're talking about building the Beit HaMikdash, they built them with Havnei Gazit. Remember that, we're going to come back to it later. Kefisin Arichei Levenim, okay, they're, right, half bricks. Livne Amarle Rabba Berei Derava Lerav Ashi, oh, sorry, I didn't read that right. Kefisin arche. Okay, kefisin are half bricks. Arche are half bricks. Levanim are livne. Levanim are levanim. Okay, that's right. Never define something with the word itself. Amrali rabba berei de rabba le rab ashi. Mimai de gvil avne de lo mashafya ninhu. Vahai tefach yetera le morsha de karnata. How do we know that gvil, we might say gvil fine, there's shisha tefachim, but how do you know that the extra tefach is the stuff sticking out that you didn't smooth down? Dilma palga de gazitu. Why don't we say that a gvil, because we'd never proof what a gvil is, right? They just assumed from the context that it's one more than the gazit. Why don't we say that it's 2 half gaziyot, I guess you would say, right? 2 half gazit bricks, which are 2.5 each, with a tefach of cement and like stuff, just like the kafisin. So why don't they say that? So what do they answer? Great answer. Kidika amrinan kafisin arche levanim livne. When we said before the kafisin are half bricks and levanim are full bricks, v'hai tefach yitera levane orbe, right? And the extra tefach is for the extra stuff they put to connect these two. Amarle, did I read this in the right spot?
Yeah, but there was a pause.
Kidika amrinan kafisin arche levanim livne.
That seems to be the answer. And then Amar.
Ahai tepach yetera levene orbe. Ah, I guess because they're saying the kefisin are like that, but not, right? If it tells you the kefisin are like that, it doesn't tell you that by the gavil, then it must be the gavil isn't that. So then they say, Amar leva litamech. Kefisin arche min alam. But wait a minute. How do you know the kefisin or arche? Ella gemara gemirela. Gevil nami. Avne deloma shafia gemara gemirela. In other words, they're saying, how do we know in the first place that kefisin are half bricks? Because we have a masoret that teaches us that. Therefore, don't start questioning the gevil is not avanim lo meshufim, because that's also a masoret that we have. In other words, don't try to say, let's assume this is like that, because how do we know that was that? Because of a masoret. So therefore, how do we know this is this? Because of a masoret. So don't start questioning. Ika de Amri, some people say that the question came in the opposite direction, but the exact same thing. Amalei Rav Acha, Bered Rav Avi, Rav Ashi, Mimai dehai kefisin arche ninu. Right? How do you know that these are half bricks? Maybe there really should be bricks that are not mishufim. Right? Bahai tefach yetera lemorsha dekarnata. Right? And the extra tefach is the stuff that's sticking out. Kidekamrinan. Ah, that's why I read it wrong. I understand. This line is coming to say, just like Gvil Avni de la Meshafian and Gazit Avni Meshafian, Bahai tefach yetera lemorsha dekarnata. I read that sentence wrong last time. That's part of the question. It's saying, just like we say it by the other thing, let's say it here. So Amar Lei, Vilit Amech, Gvil Avni de la Meshafia Minala. And so if you want to learn it from Gvil, but how do you know the Gvil is Avanim Lo Meshufim? Amar Gemara Gemirela. We have a Masoret, so Hachanami Gemara Gemirela. So therefore assume that we have a Masoret that teaches us. Amar Abai, Shmamina Kol Bene Orbe Tepach. Okay, so Abai says, let's infer from here that anytime you fill something in the middle, when you put the cement inside, it's a Tepach, right? That's what we assume from our Mishnah. It's going to be a Tepach. So hane mile betina. But maybe we should say that that's when you just use the cement itself. Aval berichsa b'itfei. But if you're going to mix it with stones and other things, then you're going to need more than a tefach. V'igadamre, and some people say, no, the opposite. Hane mile, our Mishnah was talking about berichsa. When you have the rocks mixed in with the cement, that's how we explained it earlier, aval betina lo b'ikulehat. But if you're just using cement, you don't need a whole tefach's worth. Haile memra de begazit to call arba amot gova, ihav yaputya chamisha kai ilo lo kai. So now they're going to suggest something. According to this, what's the height of the wall we're talking about? We're going to see in the next Mishnah, we already saw this. It's 4 amot. Remember we saw that yesterday? Mm-hmm. The height is 4 amot. So now they're going to say, they're taking the example of the gazit, because the gazit we're going to see is mentioned in the Beit HaMikdash. You could have really taken any of them, but they're going to say, when you build a wall, you need a certain, if you're going to build a very high wall, it needs to be a certain width so that it gives it enough strength. So are we saying that according to this, okay, is this lemeimra, okay, that is this coming to say that with a gazit, for every 4 amot of height, if it's a width, the wall is a width of 5, kai, it will stand, v'lo, lo kai. And if it's any less, I'm sorry, right, if it's any less than 5, it's not going to stand properly. Okay, it's coming to say basically the ratio between width to height. The 5 width will withstand, right, will be able to keep a wall 4 amot high, but any more than that will need more. Now, if you're going to say that that's the conclusion, you can reach from our Mishnah. The ha-amatraxin, what's the amatraxin? This is a wall that they built that was an ama wide. What's an ama? 6 tfachim, okay. It was an ama wide they built in the Beit HaMikdash. And it was, what did it do? It was a wall that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodeshim. The Kodesh Kodeshim. Now in the time of the Mishkan, it was a parochet. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash HaRishon, it was this ama traksin. And in the time of the Beit HaMikdash HaSheni, we're going to say they didn't have this at all. Okay? So, Dehavi Gaboa Taltin Amata. This was 30 amot high. Veloa Baputya Ela Sheet. Okay? It was only 6 tfachim, it was an ama wide. So how could that be? Vikam. Sheet pushche vikam. Okay, it was only 6 tfachim wide, and yet it stood in the Beit HaMikdash. How could that be? So what do they say? Kevan de ikha tepach yetera kai. It was that extra tefach. It was just five. It wouldn't have withstood, you know, the wall being four amot high wouldn't have been good enough. But because it was one added tefach, that gave it the strength to even 30 amot. They're going to basically say that it's not like five is to four amot as six is to 30 amot, and that obviously doesn't work as a mathematical equation, right? But five is to 30 amot, but five is to four amot, six already can go much higher. Okay? So now they say, well, then according to that, right? Why didn't they have it in the second Beit HaMikdash? Ki kai betaltin kai tfei lo kai. Because why? In the second Beit HaMikdash, we're going to see in a minute, the Beit HaMikdash was taller. It was 40 amot. So therefore, they couldn't build this amatraxin that was an ama wide because it could go up to 30, but it's not strong enough to go up to 40. Uminala dahavi kabawatfe. How do you know it was taller? Dichtiv, had the ceiling was higher. Dichtiv, gadol yihye kvod habayit hazeh ha'acharon min arishon. Okay, right? That's what it says in Chagai, about the second Beit HaMikdash. It's going to be greater. Now, Rabbi Shmuel is machloket. Ba'amri le Rabbi Yochanan of Rabbi Elazar. Okay, there's a machloket who actually has the machloket. Chanamar bebinyan v'chanamar b'shanim. One said it's going to be greater, it's going to be long, more taller. And one said it's going to be greater, that it's going to be long, many more years. I saw numbers, I didn't count and check that it was all right. But Rashi says that the first bayit was 410 years and the second bayit stood 420 years. So that's why the second bayit stood longer than the first.
V'italaha, v'italaha. External destruction having nothing to do with it.
Right, exactly. V'italaha, v'italaha. Well, it's a nevuah, so he could know that was going to happen. That was the idea, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, probably he didn't mean that exactly anyway, right? He meant it's going to be greater. He's just kind of talking in poetic terms. But anyway, they like to take these things literally. What do they say? They're both right. They're both true. It was both greater in height, and it was greater in years. So now, according to this, it was taller, so if it was taller, that's why they couldn't build the amatrax. V'ne'avdu taltin amin b'binyan, v'idach navi parochet. So why don't you just make a wall that's an ama wide, 30 amot high, and from there to the ceiling, the extra 10 amot, put up a parochet. Ki kai taltin amhata, nami agav tikra umazi vahavakai. Now they're going to tell us, and this is a little bit changes what we saw before. The reason why the amatraxin was able to stand was because it was samut to the floor and samut to the ceiling. It stayed in place because the ceiling and the floor helped it stay in place. But if you built a 30 ama wall that was only one ama wide, then you'd have a problem because it wouldn't be attached to the wall. If you put a parochet onto the ceiling, so then it might fall. So that's why they didn't build it. So at least make the minimum height wall, okay? Whatever you think a six tefachim wall and a one amah wide wall will be able to withstand, whether it's four amot or a little bit higher. At least have some sort of wall there to have, you know, this amatraxin. And then do the rest a parochet. Amar Abaye, Gemiri, if you can figure out where they're going, we have a masoret that what? I kulu b'binyan, I kulu b'parochet. It either has to be fully binyan or fully parochet. Ikulu bebinyan mi mikdash. Ikulu beparochet mi mishkan. Because you can see the mikdash rishon was fully a wall, and mikdash and the mishkan was fully a parochet, and that's how we know that it either has to be that or that. Okay.
Of course, it was a parochet. It was a movable.
Right. Obviously, it was a parochet. Building. That's true. It was a temporary building. But they're basically saying when we go to the mikdash sheni, we have to look at two models that we had that existed before. So it's either going to be a parochet like it was on the mishkan, or it's going to be a wall like it was on the mikdash sheni. And since it can't be fully a wall, then it's going to have to be a parochet. So now we're going to ask about our mishnah. When we talk about these measurements, okay, this is very tedious and technical. Is it hein v'sidan o dilma hein b'lo sidan? Are we talking about the bricks by themselves or the bricks with the plaster around it? Okay, in other words, because obviously the plaster is going to add a little bit more. Now, obviously, it doesn't add a lot of thickness, but it's going to add a little bit of thickness. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mistabra hein v'sidan. It must be. It seems to say then that the measurements of the six tefachim means the brick and, or the stone and the extra, and the plaster. Right? Our mission is so particular about all the shirim, it would have told us the shear of the brick or the stone is this, and the shear of the the plaster is this. Elalav shmami nahem b'sidan. So it must include it. So then I say, lo, lo lame malachayim, lo sidan. V'kevin de lave tefach lo tane. You could say, the Mishnah, it's not its derech to talk about anything that's smaller than a tefach. It's not worthy of mentioning, right? It's not enough of a shear to start mentioning it. So they say, what do you mean? Haktane b'levenim, zet... It does talk about half bricks, right? Things that are less than a tefach. So hatam chazilitz derufe. Now that's different than the seed because a tefach v'mechze can add up to another, right? Another tefach v'mechze, you get a whole tefach out of those two halves. But a little bit, right? That's like a quarter or a fifth of a tefach. That already is not worth mentioning. Tashma, let's try to learn the answer from here. Hakorasha amru rechava kedei lekabel ariach, v'ariach chatzi levena shel shlosha tefachim. This is about eruvin. Okay, and we talk about a kore and a lechi, right? These beams that you would put up. Kore is the one that you would put vertically next to the mavoi, the entrance to the mavoi, and it would be a heker that you have an eruv there. So an eruv needs to have either a kore or a lechi. So the kore has to be Rechava kedei lekabel ariach. It has to be wide enough in order to have a brick put on it, a half brick. And how much is a half brick? Ariach chatzi leveina shel shlosha tefachim. It's half a brick of a three tefachim brick. So what do they say? What could you have just said according to the way we read our Mishnah? It just could have said chatzi leveina, and everyone would know that it's a three tefachim brick, right? So now they're telling us hatam. Which would mean what? Oh, so first they're going to say, this would mean that what? A levena is three tefachim, and there obviously they're talking about without the plaster, because there you're not attaching it to a binyan. They're just saying the size has to be, right, 1.5 tefachim in order to put, right, a half a brick on it. Okay, which isn't talking about the teat at all. But then what do they answer? Hatam b'rav ravata. This tefach could be, this levena, this ariach, could be half of a large size brick. How do we know that there's large size bricks now and smaller size bricks? Daikanami dekatani shel shlosha tefachim. Michval di kazutra, shma mina. When it says a brick of three tefachim, if it had just said a brick, we would have known it was three tefachim. So the fact that it says a brick of three tefachim, it means that not all bricks are three tefachim, some are a little bit smaller, and therefore we could likely say that our Mishnah is talking about a smaller brick plus the extra of the teat. Of the, right, the sidan, sorry, the plaster, which would make it already three tefachim. So therefore, we conclude that it's hand this sidan. Amar of Chista. Now we're getting off topic, okay? You could say it connects a little bit to we were talking about the Beit HaMikdash, and later we're going to talk about more about the Beit HaMikdash. It's like a lead-in. Amar of Chista, lo listro inish beknishta, a dibane beknishta achrite. You can't tear down a Beit Knesset until you've already built a new one in its place. So if you want to take apart a building of a shul, you can't do it, okay, very interesting, relevant halacha, unless you've already built the new shul and then you can tear down the old shul. Now, obviously, you have a problem. How are you going to, if you want to rebuild and you have that space to build your shul, what are you going to do? So we'll see in a minute. Ika de'amre mishum pshiyuta. There's two reasons why this might possibly be. Some people say because we're worried that if you might be poshea, meaning, let's say you knock it down to rebuild and then you run out of money or you don't have the money right then, you say, I'll get to it later, and then you decide, I'm just not going to do it, and then you won't end up ever rebuilding it. And some people say it's because you'll have nowhere to daven. Right? Now, obviously, if you have nowhere to daven, there's a solution to that, right? So, my binayu, ika binayu, diika biknisht achrite. Okay? In other words, what's going to be the difference to halacha? If you have an alternate space to daven, right, in the interim, which is what people generally do if you want to rebuild your shul, so you move out temporarily, you have a place to daven, and that's really the halacha, right? As long as you have a place to daven, then it's okay. Then you can tear down your building and rebuild it without having another one in its place. Meremer Merzutra, most of the opinions say that this is coming to support this reading. Some people explain it otherwise, but we'll explain it this way. Satru ubanu bekaita besitva, ubanu besitva bekaita. Okay, what is this? Choref and kayitz. We're going to learn now that in Babylonia it was very hot in the summer and very cold in the winter, and they had to have different types of shuls with different ventilation, right, without modern air conditioning, etc. You had to build a certain type of shul that people could daven in the summer with a lot of ventilation. And in the winter, you need a different type of shul that was very closed so that people wouldn't freeze with much fewer windows, etc. So what did they do? They would break down their Kayetz shul in the winter when they had an alternate place to daven, and they would break down their winter shul in the Kayetz when they could basically rebuild and, you know, have an alternate place to daven. Amar Ravina l'Rav Ashi. This is really interesting. Gavu zuze umach temai. Let's say they already collected all the money, okay? And they have all the money to build a shul, right? We all know
meaning
this from experience. Right, meaning that there's no concern they're not going to build it because they have all the money, right? That's the main concern, that you're going to run out of money. This is classic, okay? So are you allowed to knock down the shul then and rebuild it? Amarle, dilma mitramaluhu pidyon shvuyim v'yavu lehu. Okay, maybe something will come up. They might have the money, but a more pressing need like pidyon shvuyim, okay, releasing people from who got in prison, and they might use the money they collected to build the shul for that. Shrige livne v'hadre hodre umachte kashure mai. What if you already have all the levanim set up? You have all the rafters, and then you have the beams. Everything's all set up and it's ready to build. You have all the money, you bought all your staff, you have all the money to pay the workers. Amarle, no, zimnin de matram, lupinin shvuyin, mizabne viyavule, lehu. In other words, you could still easily sell all the, right? If pidyon shvuyim came up and someone's taken into captivity and someone's life is more important, so they'll sell all the bricks and all the stuff that they bought, and what's the difference? So, ihachti, if that's the case, afilu banu nami, you can take this farther and say, well, if they built the shul and pinyon shvuyim comes up, they'll sell the shul. So, how could you ever, right? Amarle, dirati de'in she'lo mezapne. We don't sell a place that's already built. In a place that someone's living, you're not going to sell for pinyon shvuyim.
Should be a real rev, yeah. The Nudniki one. That should be his question.
Right, this is Rabbi Yirmiyah, yes. V'lo amaran ela delochaze be'tiyuha. This is all, this halacha of Rav Chisda, that you can't sell the shul, you can't knock down the shul, is as long as there's no holes in it. But if your shul is falling apart, basically, then you're allowed to knock down your shul. If your shul's got holes in the walls and all sorts of issues, then obviously you're allowed to do it.
Sounds like if it's dangerous, right? They shouldn't be in
it. Right, it could be dangerous, exactly. Ki ad Rav Ashi, chazabat tiyua b'knishta demata mechasya, satre v'aile l'puria lahatam, b'lo avke ad dematkin le'shvichei. What happened? He saw that the Beit Knesset was falling apart. So he brought his bed in there, and he said, I'm going to live here until you build the shul to make sure that they took it seriously and built the shul quickly. Okay, now we get to a story. We'll start a little bit because I don't want to leave too much for tomorrow. But anyway, a very interesting story. Ubava ben Buta, heichi azvia le etza lehordus, lemistere lebeit hamikdash. Had Ubava ben Buta advised Hordus, Herod, to tear down the Beit HaMikdash. This was, he did a big shiputz, if you remember. Okay? And we're going to see later more about this. We're not going to get to it yet today. But how did he do this? So, Ibait Ema, we might say, Chiwa Chazaba, maybe there was a problem in it. Ibait Ema, Machuta Shane, Delo Hadrebe. You might say the malchut is different because kings don't go back on their word. Tamar Shmuel, yeah, right, okay. Iyamar machuta, well, we'll talk about this in a second. Iyamar machuta, akrana ture, akar ture. Okay, in other words, if the king says, I'm going to be okay of this mountain, he's going to do it, right? In other words, part of it is I think the king has power to be able to do whatever he wants. So therefore, if the king says, I'm going to do this, we know he's going to do it. Okay, you could come up with all sorts of reasons, right? It would be an embarrassment if you knocked down the Beit HaMikdash and didn't do his word. It's almost like saying, like the milk, you can have pasture. If milk is pasteurized and there's government regulations, we can assume people did it because no one would ever go against the government regulations. Right? So if a king says he's going to do something, right? It would ruin their business down the road. Right? It would ruin his malchut if he got up and said, I'm going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, and then he doesn't do it. Right? So,
can you read this metaphorically as malchut of being Hashem?
What'd you say?
Can you read this metaphorically as
being Hashem, Machuta?
Hordus, pretty specific.
Right, and because it's talking about Hordus, I think, who especially was not exactly a God-fearing king, I'm not sure that really means God in this or not.
But it's the Beit HaMikdash and later with the mountain.
Uh-huh. Okay, so maybe you could understand it in that way.
But he did, of course. Herod did actually lower the Har HaBayit and build it out wider and stuff. And like, he did,
so what are you saying?
About what he actually did.
Right, they are talking about
so
what he actually did, but this is
necessarily metaphorical,
right?
Because it's not only that. Because it's afterwards, so they know that,
right,
he did that, so they may be referring to it specifically.
Right. Okay. So now we're going to, I guess we'll stop here. And tomorrow we're going to see the very interesting, bizarre story of Hordus. and what exactly happened. How did he rise? Okay, we're going to see that he was a slave. How did he rise from slave to king? Okay, and we'll discuss this more tomorrow. Anyway, the daf finishes. It's still not the end of the story, so okay.